Arbitrary scale. Fuck.
Oh, fuck.
Wait. This is... We have so much to work with this week, though. Actually, the only hard part is how about we create... What if we create the rat score?
The rat score?
So it's just like how many Pete Buttigieg / Chuck E. Cheese faces we give.
I was going to say how many... what is it? Not the straight delegate, but what's the other delegate?
State delegate. State
delegate equivalent. Yeah, the SDEs.
Absolutely.
How many SDEs you get?
State delegate equivalents.
Yes. How many state delegate equivalents is this? We just go exponentially. This is like 158 state delegate equivalents.
State delegate equivalents is the ultimate arbitrary scale.
It is. Because it makes no fucking sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
The Iowa DNC listens to Audio Face.
Like, you know what? We're going to make the Iowa caucus have an arbitrary scale. What's arbitrary scale? State delegate equivalents. How do we know who won? You don't. That's the point. Deadass.
They accidentally made Audio Face.
Yep. What we've been doing for 2.5 years, they fucked up and did it on day one.
Complete with a half-working mobile website.
Yep. At least we don't have an app. Fuck.
At least we don't have phone lines. Jesus Christ.
No. And we go to phones.
You think it's bad with just us? Imagine callers. I love the organics, but they're wild.
No, we cannot have the organics on the phone because they're going to say things. I know which ones are going to call in.
Hello, humans. Hello. Welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news, music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I am Sean.
This is episode 129.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite a really unique kind of episode music-wise is what we're reviewing. Since we're all like kind of singles did out from last week, we don't have singles this week, but we do have Green Day's really quick drop length album, Father of All, .. motherfuckers. The Professionals, which is a collaboration between Oh No and Madlib, and then Hotspot by Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have we heard of them before? Interesting.
They're a band.
They're a group. but we begin today's... Let's start with a test for this podcast. Let's see how far we go in other than the certain part of the show that we talked about, the arbitrary scale. Mm-hmm. Let's see how far we go in before we actually end up referencing the Democratic primary.
Right. So we're going to start off with news, though. So,
Before we start off with news really fast.
Go over what's coming up.
Yeah. Later this week, we're going to be dropping a really special thing that we've been doing kind of behind the scenes, like a political show type thing we did with friend of the network, Bam. We made a podcast. We're going to see how that goes. And depending on how that goes, we may do more of them. I don't know, but we'll see. But Audio Face related, we also have a Tame Impala bonus episode. We are coming in hot with our first bonus episode of 2020, and it's going to be great because Tame Impala's newest album drops Valentine's Day.
It's the best Valentine's Day present ever.
Yes.
Like, tell your significant other you don't need anything because Tame Impala's dropping an album.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. Now let's get into the news.
Let's do it. All right. So, RIP Vinyls. So, the worldwide vinyl record supply is threatened by a fire at the liqueur manufacturer, which helps like the seal and everything for vinyls. Apparently, the entire factory was just up in smoke, up in flames.
Yeah, it's a fire in Banning, California, so like kind of middle of the state /
Yeah, the facility of Apollo Masters.
Yeah. So they make the lacquer used in the production of master discs, which commercial vinyl are made. And so to go like, okay, this is just one company that makes one kind of niche thing. How bad is this? Let's see. There's one here that was like, oh. The founder of Third Man Records, Ben Blackwell, explained that Apollo is one of only two companies that produced vinyl master lacquers in the world. The others named MDC in Japan, and they already had trouble keeping up with demand before the Apollo went up in flames. And so also they were like the primary or only supplier of this certain type of stylus that's used in the pressing of vinyl.
Yep.
So...
yeah, that ain't like good. Apparently, like, people are saying that vinyl should be fine, but it's still a worry of a lot of artists right now who are making are putting new albums and stuff on vinyls, i.e. the 1975, where they delayed their album for 3 months to make it on vinyl. So
womp womp.
Now watch, Maddie's gonna have an excuse to be like, we're gonna delay it 6 more months because the fire.
April-ish.
That's what we've been saying, April-ish. Yeah, that sucks though, because as someone who collects vinyl, I like vinyl. Don't lose it.
And we also talked about vinyl, and how like, even though there are way more convenient ways to listen to music,
it's the best.
It's a really good sound, and people are still buying a lot of vinyl in droves. Billie Eilish's album last year was one of the top purchased vinyls of last year. So it's like still something that's relevant, something that people who are younger consume compared to some misconceptions. There's a dumb thing that happened.
Oh, right.
During the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
Yes. And of course, last year around this time, it was announced that Jay-Z was going to be the head of like live entertainment for the NFL, which was seen as of two sides. Jay-Z, are you going into the system to change the NFL, which has been known to be a notoriously racist towards black people?
Do the Peaky Blinders, or are you doing it because you want money?
Yeah. And so people did this dumb thing that they do on Twitter, which is they go and post a photo without any context and speculate as to what it means. It was a photo of Jay-Z and Beyonce sitting while the Super Bowl performance with Demi Lovato and all those like people were like
J-Lo.
When they did that whole thing, he was just like, Jay-Z and Beyonce were sitting down, and people were interpreting that as a protest when Jay-Z was like, no, we were just in like artist mode, which is just like producing. Basically, he's on the clock, he's working.
Yeah.
Like, and like, I obviously not very giving a lot of credit to Jay-Z and his like NFL decision, but like, it makes sense. He's like working.
No, because he's like seeing the production, everything, looking at it, and just thinking about how it is, which like, he's makes sense for me. Yeah, exactly. From a producer standpoint, 100% makes sense. So stop making something out of nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the many reasons I'm really tired of the internet and Twitter, but. Let's move on.
Let's go on to our first album of the day.
Yes. Father of All ... but it's Father of All Motherfuckers. It's a Green Day album. It's a Green Day album. It's 10 songs long and 26 minutes, so it's
super short.
Really short. It's a drop, but it's not rap. Usually drops come in rap. This is like Green Day's particular brand of like pop, of like rock that's almost poppy but inspired by punk.
Kind of. That's a good way to explain it. All I know is that if I hear one more song of them that has clapping, I'm going to like rip my eyeballs out.
You're not a fan of the clapping and the snapping.
No. That is the new trap snare in rock / alternative music. So, you know, in my vehement despise of trap snare when it comes especially to alternative and indie rock, because like the biggest example, that's Foster the People. Lonely Heart, Sacred Club, whatever. When that album came out, I'm like, okay, they need to stop doing that. Now we're getting this in the past, let's say tail end of last year, now going into this new year, is clapping. Because it's something that I've noticed with a lot of rock albums, that when they run out of ideas, they go down to this route. But Green Day did it for the first like 3 or 4 songs in a row, where it felt like one giant continuous song for 4 songs. Where there was almost, I mean, there wasn't really a break in between them, but it just kept continuing and it didn't feel like there's any separation between them. Like, the production of it, it's good. It's like, it's not terrible.
But you'd expect someone like Green Day, who's been like at this since longer than we've been alive, to be a little more composed in this.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something that...
more tightly produced.
Yeah. And it's something to where this is the rock that's running out of ideas. You have rock that isn't running out of ideas, like the Incubus single was fantastic, very good. You have, again, like Tame Impala, you have bands that are doing stuff differently, for sure, that aren't running out of ideas, more or less, or they could kind of stick true to their sound, even if they've been playing since the 90s. But this is definitely one of those where I'm like, it's just stagnant, very, very stagnant.
Yeah.
It gets up to a level and literally just stays there the entire album and doesn't go down, doesn't go up, just stays at it. Which is okay depending on it, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah, I, coming into this, I mostly felt the same way. Like, none of the songs to me, especially the first 4, like you said, really felt like they were separate in any sort of way. I Was a Teenage Teenager seems like a little bit of a high point in the album.
I don't wanna freak you out.
But
that's a good song, actually.
Yeah,
I was a teenager.
Yeah, even then, it still feels like kind of plain, like it's missing a little bit of something. Mm-hmm. Like Green Day, they had a prime. They used to have like a bounce, and that bounce was like the aughts.
American Idiot is an amazing album.
Yeah, like
it, but since then, it's you had 21st Century Breakdown, which was still good too. But after then, it just that's when music really started to change, especially within rock. But they didn't keep up with the times.
Yeah.
So it feels Uncle Rocky.
I was going to say that. It does feel like very Uncle Rocky kind of whatever. It seems, yeah, it definitely leaves a lot to be kind of desired. Arbitrary scale this week?
Yes.
The arbitrary scale this week is state delegate equivalents.
Because the DNC apparently listens to Audioface and they made an arbitrary scale for the Iowa caucus itself.
So since I've become like literally my first Dan Fmiernet video, oh look, we're at Flight Path Studios today. But my very first Dan Fmiernet video was about primaries and caucuses. Mm-hmm. So like detail without detail, Iowa has this interesting slash dumb way of voting where they all get in a room and go across the room and try to convince people to vote for their candidate, and that's counted in a certain way. But people have hated the way that's counted because they're really antiquated system. Mm-hmm. So this year they did it differently, but there are three different ways to count everything. There were state delegate equivalents, which are a kind of a random number that's a calculation that's very prone to human error. Regular delegates from the state that are not to be confused with state delegate equivalents that go into the DNC's dumb electing process. And then you have the popular vote, which is the one that makes sense. I'm not just saying that because Bernie won the popular vote, though he did. I just think the delegate thing was bungled and the election was bungled. And yeah, it's the ultimate arbitrary scale. I'm giving this one 217.4 delegates.
217. That feels like a lot.
In
the grand scheme of things, actually.
In the grand scheme of things.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a long election. Green Day has had. It's like a long, like, election cycle.
It's
season.
Just like 178. State delegate equivalents.
You
beat Joe Biden.
For once, I'm...
Claps. You beat Joe Biden.
You beat Joe Biden. Great job. You're below Warren, but you beat Biden.
Yes. This is interesting.
Yeah, so...
This next story.
A judge, semi not surprisingly, has ruled against Kesha.
Also, and she also said that he raped Katy Perry.
Yes, yes.
And then Katy Perry literally said, no, he didn't.
Yeah.
So it's a big defamation act right now. That's actually the Thursday New York Supreme Court ruled that Kesha defamed Dr. Luke by saying in a text message to Lady Gaga that the music producer raped Katy Perry. She also determined that contrary to Kesha's attorney's arguments, the producer is not a public figure, meaning that he will not need to prove actual malice in his defamation claim against Kesha for alleging that he raped her. So basically, Kesha looks like she's lying.
It doesn't look good. The other side to this is that it's notoriously difficult to prove sexual assault and rape in court.
It definitely is, but then the fact that Katy Perry literally said no.
Like, yeah.
This didn't happen.
That's
my big thing, where it's like, I tend to listen to women, and if a woman says that shit didn't happen, then that shit probably didn't happen.
Fair.
So, and that's not, it's definitely not good for Kesha right now, so.
Yeah. Not a great look. Anyways, The Professionals is an album by Ono and Madlib. I had not previously heard of Ono's like rapping before, but we'll get into it here. The Professionals, as it's called, this project is 13 songs long, 44 minutes. And it's so the natural comparison to this is to Bandana, Freddie Gibbs and Madlib, because it's the most recent Madlib produced project. It's also a short rap album. Madlib's production is pretty stylistic and well known and kind of legendary. This is definitely not as good as Bandana, but
100%
still,
not. It's still good. I felt like it needed to tone down the amount of skits and stuff that was going on, and especially at the beginning, the My House skit felt just way too long and too much into it. And then, because when it goes into the pros, the second song, the pros has like 30 seconds more of skits and shit. And then it goes into the actual rapping.
The pros itself is, by the way, a 1 minute 56.
57.
Second song.
Exactly. Like, so you already spent a quarter of the song with just a skit. And then you get to finally the rapping after about 3 minutes. And it's good, but there's just too much too many skits. It's like the Humans effect of just too much shit that's going on at once.
Yeah.
It's like, you can tell it's well produced. It is Mad Lib, so it's fantastic as always, but it just needs to be toned down. The rapping isn't bad though, actually.
Yeah,
I do like Ono's rapping in this.
I found some of Ono's rapping to be like sort of stylistically almost like he was trying to be like, he was definitely stylistically trying to mimic flows of other rappers. There were certain songs that had like an Eminem flow. There were certain songs that had like a Playboi Carti flow. There were some songs that had
he didn't have like his distinct voice for sure, but I'm not saying that he wasn't bad.
Yeah, the way he wasn't
like
bad,
doing like, yeah, he did a bunch of different styles throughout the album.
And the way he wasn't bad was that he is pretty good at moving through those styles, if not like making them his own and having like his own one that's set. Again, I haven't heard a lot of Ono's stuff, so maybe in hearing his sound more, I would notice that more. But it doesn't immediately jump out here. Whereas, even not listening to that much Freddie Gibbs, I was able to very much tell his kind of style. But lyrically, there's a lot of like depth here.
Oh, always.
I'm trying to think. Two of the songs that stuck out to me. I'm gonna forget the first one, but the other one's kind of later in the album. It's Make Do.
To my people trying to make do, put that last dollar on that dream, trying to break through. Let's go. I put that last book on scratches, trying to get a little luck. By that last scratch I seen that wasn't shit coming up. But that didn't stop the grind, that's just a little gamble. And today is not the day to be flying. Back to the green power, back to the lab, snapped and back to the seed flowers. Now it's a rap, smack right dab in the baby powder.
Yeah, it just like has, it's a kind of a, there are tales of the streets, not just in the, and very much of this, but like the drug dealing and gangbanging and stuff. There's also the stuff that there's massive poverty out in the streets and it's not being dealt with. And it's like a, definitely a reflection on more modern society and like a look at it, an expression of it. It kind of like almost calls to your attention in that way in certain songs, which I think was really good.
No, I mean, I enjoyed it for sure, as a, especially as a Mad Lib production, because you can definitely tell it's a Mad Lib produced album. But yeah, I definitely want to look more into Ono and see what his other work is and see what his voice really is in it, because I did actually enjoy that he did a bunch of different styles in that, because that you don't see that too often in rap, especially. They kind of have their own stylistic thing in it and they stick to it throughout an album. Sometimes it's great, or so a lot of the times it can get very stagnant quickly because it just gets boring after doing the same thing over and over again. But this is nice to where it's a little different in that regard. But then it's, then the con of that's hard to figure out what his style, what his voice really is. So yeah, it's a solid album though. Definitely check it out if you, especially if you enjoy Mad Lib produced albums, you will enjoy this for sure. It won't be your favorite, but it's nice. I mean, that's a nice thing to start the year off with, you know?
Yeah. State delegate equivalents, I would give this 517.8.
I'd give this like 317.8.
317.8.
Okay. Yes.
Again, these don't matter.
It literally doesn't matter. That's the best part. It does not matter.
Yeah, but it is definitely better than the Green Day album. That's for sure. So, this is, we almost did a No Chill Island, but for numerous reasons, we didn't this week. it makes sense to just make this shorter, but honestly, there was just like a couple of really annoying instances of ignorance and buffoonery going on in music this week, and I wanted to break it down in a couple ways. So one was a Travis Scott interview that made the rounds on La Red, the internet, and it was on Hot 97 FM, I believe, and he was kind of reacting to, you know, it's Black History Month, and Trayvon Martin was assassinated, killed this month, but he would have been, alive and had a birthday this month, had he not been assassinated by current rogue gunman, George Zimmerman.
Yeah. But, executed.
Not that Travis Scott got the memo, because he had this to say about the whole Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman thing, which is very, you know, woke.
But, you know, at the same time, I don't want to just like directly throw an opinion out, because, you know, if this could have been you or me on that bench, and we were George Zimmerman, and like we felt like we didn't do nothing, we kind of would have wanted that plea as well, you know. But I mean, I don't know, man. I don't like getting mixed up in this whole justice thing.
But it did. You just, but
walk out there and not know it's safe because of a neighborhood watch guy, whatever.
Self-appointed neighborhood
watch. Yeah, you know. And, you know, it's that whole thing, man. You know, black people just got to just be better about themselves, man. And that's why, you know, with guys like me, Rocky, Tyler, Ye, you know, Hov, man, with just like music, you know, trying to tell you, man, you can't just be doing the same thing you always been doing, man, because it ain't going to ever stop. So you just got to change your ways. Those type of things never going to stop, man, no matter. So you just got to just put yourself in different, like, positions, man. And parents got to do better with just, like, directing their kids and just not, like, being, like, so loose-headed, man. Teach your kids something. Like, let them watch ill movies. Like, show them good creative things so they won't have to be so, like, raunchy. They can just go out and feel like they can do some exercise their brain.
So literally,
the last part, yes. The rest of that, he's a dumb fuck.
I mean, Travis Scott's basically making the Pete Buttigieg argument in the last part that, like, oh, you want to know why black kids keep getting shot unnecessarily? Because of their parents.
Right.
Like it's, you're blaming the parents on something that, like, is happening to them disproportionately in society. I think it was really kind of fucking stupid that Travis Scott chose to cite people like Jay-Z and ASAP Rocky, who have been pretty kind of vocal in the... in a lot of things, well, at least less ASAP Rocky, because he's had his own problems too with this, but there's this issue with a certain, like, echelon of rappers who feel like because they rap, they've, like, made it above not just, like, the streets, but above the different things that being black in America does to you regardless of what status you are. I think it's really ironic that he cited Jay-Z, because Jay-Z made the song Story of OJ. That's basically, that's really controversial chorus is the idea that regardless of how rich you are or, like, what status you have, the world still sees you as black and will still treat you poorly as black, unfortunately. And it's not something that you can, like, change with, it's not something Travis Scott's changing with music. He's not, like, fucking Nelson Mandela. He's making shitty trap beats, right? So it's, like, it's not something he's fucking doing, but, like, he's being a fucking coon here. It's ridiculous. I'm so tired of this kind of, like, entitlement from black celebrities and rappers especially. Which brings me to Snoop Dogg.
Oh, God. This is bad.
So, after the Kobe Bryant
death
passing, helicopter landing gone wrong, it was talking about basically a lot of the stuff happening to do with Kobe Bryant's rape charge trial thing was coming up again, including an old interview that Gayle King did interviewing a WNBA star happening to talk about it.
Yeah, and in, like, 2003.
Yeah. The interview was going out, and in the interview from 2003, Gayle, like, pushed Lisa Leslie, the WNBA star, if, like, she really believed that defending Kobe Bryant was, like, made sense, and Leslie did. And it was, like, fine at the moment, and it was 2003, so it wasn't, like, a big shocker, because a lot of people just did defend Kobe Bryant regardless. But it kind of went off the rails when Snoop Dogg wrote "Fuck you" and Gayle talking to Oprah Winfrey, then kind of posting a video taking aim directly at Gayle King over questioning Bryant, quote, "Why y'all attacking us? We your people. You ain't come after Harvey Weinstein asking those dumbass questions." He goes on to call King a, quote, "funky doghead bitch."
Yep.
Saying, "respect the family and back off before we come get you."
And it's, the best part is, "fuck you and Gayle, free Bill Cosby."
Yeah.
Do we have a dumbass award?
Snoop Dogg, you.
Dumbass like of Travis, the year award.
Snoop Dogg, like Travis Scott, like Kendrick Lamar, are fucking coons. Like, you need to stop doing this. Like, first of all, like, just because a black male celebrity got, like, charged with sexual assault and sent to the clink, and, like, white male celebrities do and sometimes they don't, doesn't mean, like, we need to start defending rapists and, like, bad people just because of, like, their race. It's, like, this ridiculous thing that was done, like, with XXXTentacion. It's the same logic even that Kendrick Lamar had with XXXTentacion, that because he's black and he's being disrespected, or, like, he's being mistreated, quote-unquote, because of his past actions, and white artists aren't always mistreated because of their actions, when it's not always apples to oranges, sometimes there's an age difference. That it's a racist thing. When it's not, it's just like, go ahead.
It's a male in power thing at that point too.
Yeah.
But it's a thing of, and you have to call out people who fuck up no matter what their ethnicity or background, sexual orientation, anything is.
Yeah.
Call out anybody. You can't defend them just based on their race, just based on their orientation, whatever it is, because that's ignorance at its finest right there.
Yeah.
Because at that point, then you're just doing the whole tribal thing of just protect your own kin. But at that point, like, you got to fess up when one of your own fucks up.
Yeah.
And it's like that happens to everybody. So,
yeah. Like, it's totally, like, acceptable and expected, too, to criticize Oprah for
the Harvey Weinstein. I mean, yeah, you got 100%.
Like, there's photo. And because, like, there's a lot of people.
That's fine.
Because, like, Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein, they were all these people who, like, were just major parts of, like, celebrity
had,
and power. Because
they had so much power with them, so much money and influence into that world that.
Yeah, and then, like.
There's hundreds of people that are tied up in
it. It's an indictment on the American oligarchy that, like, they're all friends with these terrible people and, like, are. And it shows that they. But it's like, it shows they're inclined to protect power no matter how vicious it is. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's a. Unfortunately, Snoop Dogg is re-perpetuating that because he is now one of those celebrities who's literally saying free Bill Cosby.
Like, dude, Bill Cosby drugged and raped.
Like, Cosby people. And Weinstein belong in the same cell together.
Yeah, they... Never mind. I was going to get bleeped, so I'm saving Dan for doing any more editing. But our stance still stands. Stop being dumbasses.
Yeah. And
speaking of that,
the last thing, which, like, I don't want to talk about Nicki Minaj or Meek Mill. I don't give a fuck about either of them. But there's, like, one kind of really annoying thing about this. And it's a contrast to what we were talking about earlier. So... Nicki Minaj and Meek Mill, who used to be, like, partners, got into a, like, fight in the streets that was, of course, caught on video. Minaj made abuse allegations claiming that Meek Mill filmed himself beating Nicki Minaj up as well as his own sister and mother, which is quite a
accusation step. There.
Mill retaliated by criticizing Nicki Minaj for supporting her brother, who was recently convicted of child rape. So, like,
oh, God, people are so...
God damn it.
God damn it, I gotta bleep that.
But, like, it's...
But it is! I'm sorry, I'm over it.
Like, and here's the reason. I first read this story in the earlier part of the week, and I was like, Nicki Minaj is just trying to sell a single. Like, she's just...
100%.
Because Nicki Minaj...
She's, like, super fake, dude.
She got over... She let the whole Cardi B thing get in her head too much, because Cardi B wasn't trying to, like, do a versus Nicki Minaj thing. There's
Cardi
more than
B
enough
doesn't
room.
Give a fuck
There's more
that.
Than enough room for multiple women in rap, and Nicki Minaj self-sabotaged herself and became, like she Latin. Lost that, like, queen status, quote-unquote.
Yes.
But, like...
Because now her real side is showing out a lot.
Yeah.
The ugly side.
Yeah.
I should say.
And so, of course, it was a shameless publicity stunt, but then she released a single called Yikes.
Yikes.
That also has a reference towards the whole Meek Mill drama. It's really just fucking so ridiculous. Like, it's... this is also 5 months after announcing her quote-unquote retirement from music. So, like, she's just doing
she's just
publicity
doing
stunts.
Yep, as they
oh
always
my God.
Do. People
just,
do
like,
this all the time.
We need to just drop Nicki Minaj in general. Like, she was fine in the early 10s, I guess, like, decent at best, maybe, but
at
maybe.
Decent
but, like,
at best.
But, like, it's, she's gone. She's old. She's canceled, sis.
And we're going to our last album of the day. We have Pet Shop Boys' Hot Spot, which is, why is it not bubbling up on here? That's weird.
I think I have to, like, click on the album itself in that case.
I do. But thank you. It is 10 songs, 42 minutes long, as we always do. Pet Shop Boys are a really well-known band, especially the
classic,
like, from the 80s.
Synth pop duo.
Like, I mean,
English synth pop duo.
Yeah, I mean, they go hard.
Arguably Disclosure of the 80s.
Right, better than Disclosure in the 80s.
Yeah.
They had a big influence on everything, but they've been releasing music, like, consistently throughout the 2000s and 2010s as well.
Yeah. This is really fast. They're classic, which we've talked about a remarkable number of times in Audio Face, because I think a Lion Babe song kind of sampled, or, like, did a cover of it kind of last year.
Of West End Girls.
Yeah.
We have Always On My Mind, West End Girls, stuff like tracks like that are just ridiculously good. But anyways, so their new album for the new decade, Hotspot. It's, I like it a lot. It's fucking good.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's definitely that synth pop, but it's, this is a lot of bands are doing this, but they have a big say in this because they fucking made music in the 80s. Is that throwback tune of the 80s mixing it with the new styles of synth pop stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a really cool mixture of their old sounds plus new. Because that first song, which is Will O' the Wisp, it starts off kind of slow and builds up, and then it drops this little beat, and I'm like, okay, they're gonna be Uncle Poppy. But then they kept each song, they kept increasingly making the album better and better just by adding different sounds, adding different things with vocals, messing with it, but then sticking true to them theme, where you can hear this is Pet Shop Boys for sure, but it's something that is a little different, a little bit fun, like a little bit of experimentation on it, but it still goes hard in the paint.
I think I have an interesting sort of take on this is that music has come around back to the Pet Shop Boys
because 100%, yeah,
it's like the being sent like Pet Shop Boys in this case, pardon the analogy, are kind of like the Bernie Sanders of music. Like it's a, like the entire body politic has like come back, or like at least one side of the body politic has come to them. It's like a lot of music is influenced off of synth pop and these kind of dancing
tracks. It's becoming more and more popular now, and it's more of a staple
because we're going back to 70s and 80s throwbacks.
Yeah, exactly. But like there's a song Happy People in Dreamland featuring Years and Years. Holy shit, that's a good song. That's a
Dreamland, yes. Yeah.
That's just a groovy, I just want to get up and dance the entire time, have a drink in my hand and just, you know, have a good time.
Yeah, it's the kind of like you're in a lounge club kind of affair.
Exactly.
Thing. My favorite on here is just Monkey Business. It's just such a groove. Yeah, it caused me to, it reminded me that I'm also making a 2020 playlist of 2020 music I like, because I said if sometimes songs are so good, you like make a playlist off of them. Mm-hmm. But it's just very, it encapsulates what I'm trying to say, which is Pet Shop Boys have had the sound, they've been refining it. It's not like they haven't changed at all.
No, for sure.
They're definitely like improving and iterating off of their 80s sound for sure. They have better equipment, they have better styles, they've genuinely grown as musicians. But what also kind of gives this album an extra sort of like unique relevance and presence that normally older albums from artists that have been around a long time, a la Green Day. Mm-hmm. What makes this a little bit more relevant is that the musical context has come around to this, and Monkey Business kind of expresses that, where it's very like everything we said, pop, synth pop, and danceable, but a new spin on it that's definitely like for this decade.
Yeah, it's definitely pushing the genre a little bit more forward as well.
Yeah. Wedding in Berlin is also really nice. That's the ending track.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Listen to this album full top to bottom and you will enjoy it for sure. This is a solid, like, I don't know, 650.
Yeah, this is winning like California, New York, Colorado, Texas, and Ohio.
That's like all the stuff.
Yeah, this is
this is that when
and
that,
only that graph coming in second in Florida.
Right? This is that graph where it's your face on every single state except two.
it's the inverse of Joe Biden in the betting markets.
Yes, inverse of Joe Biden. The puts on Joe Biden.
And because we always like to end Audio Face on a fun note, Erykah Badu is releasing a perfume that smells like her womanly region.
This is one of the many times I'm glad my nose doesn't work and I don't have a sense of smell. Because, don't do that.
The product is officially titled, aptly titled, Badu's Pussy. And
Jesus. What? Perfume. Badu's pussy. Badu's new fragrance, pussy. Only available at Macy's. Smell like a cooch today.
Actually, imagine walking into Macy's and it usually smells like perfume and stuff. But I wouldn't like know. Then, I mean, it's back in the day. Anyways, there's a whole like SpongeBob bit about this. Where like I have to escape to a perfume store.
I can taste it. Like when I walk in, that's how I know it's really bad. If I'm like breathing through my mouth. I can taste them. Like, I don't want to know what this does to people's noses. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're curious as to how they synthesized this smell, because I'm sure not, she just took lots of pairs of her panties, cut them up into little pieces, and burned them. She also revealed that she stopped wearing undergarments for some time, so she has plenty to spare for perfume makeup.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I didn't know that.
This has been Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. We will be doing a bonus episode of Tame Impala. It should be significantly more enjoyable than this last segment was for both Sean and I. But nevertheless, you can find the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod, and the YouTube at youtube.audioface.show.
Yes.
Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the web, aka Mayor Pete Has No Black Friends, and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. And thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned for the Tame Impala bonus and yes. Also the political report that will
the be podcast.
The podcast. We'll call it
the podcast. Point.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you very soon. Cheers.